Hi, this is your friend, Emmanuel Dagger, and you're listening to The Miracle Cafe, the home of transformational conversations that serve to attract even more miracles in your life. The Miracle Cafe is excited to connect you with visionary guests, concepts, and modalities here to assist you in manifesting a miraculous life. It's my deepest honor to welcome you to The Miracle Cafe. Hey, my beautiful friend, and welcome to the Miracle Cafe. Today's theme is all about the path to abundance. We have the one and only Marianne Williamson with us today, who will be sharing her insights on the subject a bit later. Right now, I'd like to set the intention that you receive the insights, aha moments, healings, and miracles in accordance to your highest and greatest good with ease and with grace. So if you agree, just affirm out loud, and so it is, and just breathe that in, breathing in that knowing that whatever that you're meant to receive, you receive it in the highest and best way for you. Good. So we have such a big show today. I would like to begin with a gift that I created for you that will immediately begin assisting you in creating a healthy relationship with prosperity and abundance forever. Here we go. So what I want to do is ask everyone to get really comfortable. I want you to find an object around you that represents abundance, whether it's money, a check, coins, checkbook, whatever it is, just really finding something that represents the energy of abundance and money for you. So I'll go ahead and let you do that for a few seconds as we prepared for this wonderful process. So once you find that object that represents money to you, I want you to go ahead and close your eyes, and I want you to place this object over your heart space in your hand, in your right hand. Place it over your heart space and just go ahead and take a nice deep breath in. Close your eyes. Just breathe in that life force energy all around you that's here to support you, love you, guide you. Just breathing that in to the depths of your being. And just breathe out all those thoughts, those concerns, doubts, worries about money, about the morning, the day, whatever. Just breathe that out through the exhale. Let the universe completely unburden you of that. Good. Let's take another deep breath in, filling up our whole being with joy, with gratitude, with love, with life force energy. Good. And just breathing out any lingering thoughts and cares, just seeing them almost like little clouds, puffy white clouds passing by, just ease and grace. Good. And let's just do one more. Take a nice deep breath in, getting really comfortable, feeling that connection with that object that represents money. So this is just a symbol for you. It's actually connecting you with the collective of the energy of money and abundance and what that is. So go ahead and breathe out. All right, so the first thing we're going to do, we have five steps in this process. Step one is all about oneness, uniting. It's about no longer seeing that object as outside of us, as separate from us. So what we're going to do right now is, as you have this object over your heart space, I want you to, in your mind, I want you to feel and think of the thoughts, you and I are one. I just want you to send that energy, you and I are one, because really you are one, because if you weren't, then that thing would not exist, or you would not exist. It's all here, everything on in your experience you are one with. So right now, we're establishing a connection and our oneness. So feel into that oneness with that energy of abundance right now, financial abundance especially. And just feel into that. Now, and when we feel that, step two is going to be all about forgiveness. So what are we forgiving? We really need to understand what forgiveness is. So forgiveness is less about pride or, you know, ego, all that stuff. It's simply about freeing ourselves and freeing that which has been preventing us from moving forward, or we've allowed to prevent us from moving forward. So forgiveness. So we've established our oneness, our connection. You and I are one. Our eyes are closed. We're feeling that oneness with that energy of financial abundance. Now we're going to connect with the energy of forgiveness. So in your mind, I want you to just set the intention. I forgive myself for the way that I experienced abundance up until now. And just really feeling into that, because you know what? When we know better, we do better. When we don't know, because we've been passed down with these, you know, generational beliefs and systems that, you know, we have to struggle, all these things, well, we bought into it simply because that's all we knew. But now, as we shift our awareness and we step into a new vibration, sometimes, you know, it takes a little bit of integration process. So as we shift, we will start to experience a shift in our reality. So when we know better, we do better. So now, just setting that intention, you know, forgiving yourself for the way that you experienced money, the way that you looked at money, the way you treated money, and just also connecting with the energy of money and saying, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry on behalf of all mankind for what we've projected onto you. I'm so sorry. So that oneness, step one, step two is all about forgiveness. So as we move through, the next step is all about healing. So go ahead and just, after you say, I'm sorry on behalf of all mankind, I want you to just, in your heart space, in your mind, feel the energy, I see you. Because when we see it, when we recognize what it really is, we heal it. That goes for everything. Whether it's a person we're healing, a person, a relationship, ourselves, money, any situation. When we see its true essence, its true energy signature, we heal it. Because we are saying, you know what, I'm looking past the illusion. I know what you really are, what it is that you're all about. So therefore, you are now healed. I love you. I accept you. And I bless you. Just send those energies. I see you. I love you. I accept you and I bless you. I see you. I love you. I accept you and I bless you. Just setting that intention to that energy, that symbol right now that you've established your connection with. All right. So the next step is we're going to get into gratitude, because gratitude is a magnet to miracles. So what we're going to do is we're going to release it out into the universe. So I heal you, I love you, I see you, I bless you, I accept you. Now go back out into the universe and bless all those that you come in contact with. I am so grateful for you. I am so grateful. And so it is. So really, really connecting with that. So we merge two processes, gratitude and releasing. So gratitude, I'm so grateful for this sacred time that I know, I have this realization right now that you and I are one, that I recognize that I've been treating you probably not of the highest and best, that I see you now, I recognize you, I accept you, and I love you, and now I am so grateful for you, and then go back out into the world and bless all of those that you may come in contact with. And when we release it, when we release those needs to hold on to it or, you know, get more or attain more, and just be willing to be open to this new concept of connecting to money in this way, then it will come to you. You will be so surprised. It'll come to you from so many different unexpected and expected avenues. And so really releasing it and letting go of those, you know, need to know why, when, where, how. Just release that. Let it go. Let the universe take care of that. And let that beautiful energy that you've just healed and transformed go back out into the world. And imagine what domino effect you're creating right now. Literally. That money, that check, that, you know, cash, that whatever it is that symbolizes money to you goes back out and heals the other collective energy around money, and then in the other, and the other. So literally you're creating this huge snowball, this domino effect of transformation for the masses just by you healing the money in your experience. Now feel that connection, feel that oneness, just reiterating, one was all about the oneness, two was all about forgiveness, three was all about healing, four was all about gratitude, and five is all about releasing it back out into the universe. And just bring your awareness back into your breath. And just breathe in that knowing that you have created a huge shift right here, right now, in your awareness. And your willingness alone, remember one thing, even if you can't feel it at certain times, let's say it's challenging for someone to feel that they can attract abundance right now, your willingness alone, because everyone's willing to attract abundance on some level, so your willingness alone is going to set that into motion and create your path into that direction. So just know, if you were unable to feel it, your willingness alone is going to move it into that direction. And if you were able to feel it, great. And I hope you can use this on and on. You know, when I'm working with a client and they're having problems, you know, with debt or certain things, and they really are uncomfortable paying bills. So I ask them to do this process right before that, so that when they're paying that bill, they're really grateful and they put it out in a way that they know what money really is. They know that it's not separate from them. They're healing it. They're asking what I can do for you. Really, this whole thing that we just did was more about what I can do for money rather than what, how much more can I get, because that's it. And then it opens you up to more, because it's going to come to you because it knows that it's going to heal rather than be traumatized. So that's going to be a really powerful process for you. And I would love to hear feedback. You know, I know it's changed my life, and I do it twice a week or anytime I'm paying a bill that feels uncomfortable for me, and it completely changes that energy around it. So just take a deep breath, breathing in, feeling that gratitude, relax your hands, just shake it out a little bit, getting grounded, fully present, and breathe out that joy, that excitement for your new perspective around money, for your healing that you've created around money. Let's take another deep breath in and gently release. Good, and so it is. I hope you really enjoyed that. We're going to take a quick music break, and when we return, we have the extraordinary Marianne Williamson with us. Now it's my deepest honor to introduce you to our special guest for today. Marianne Williamson is an internationally acclaimed spiritual author and lecturer. 6 of her 10 published books have reached New York Times bestsellers, and 4 of them have reached number 1. Marianne has been a popular guest on television programs such as Oprah, Larry King Live, and Good Morning America. In 1989, she founded Project Angel Food, a Meals on Wheels program that serves homebound people with AIDS in the Los Angeles area. Today, Project Angel Food serves over 1,000 people daily. Marianne also founded the Department of Peace campaign, a grassroots campaign to establish a United States Department of Peace. On top of it all, she's one of the most miraculous people I've ever encountered. Marianne, welcome to the Miracle Cafe.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So grateful. So the theme today is all about the path to abundance. In your most recent book, you reveal a path to abundance can be experienced through a powerful spiritual principle called the law of divine compensation. Can you share with our listeners what this principle is all about?
I use the phrase the law of divine compensation to describe a particular working of the universe itself. Namely, that it is self-organizing, and secondly, that it is self-correcting. The embryo turns into a baby, and the bud turns into a blossom, and the acorn turns into an oak tree. Throughout nature, we see examples of the way some invisible hand, some invisible force, obviously takes each aspect of reality and moves it forward in a way that leads it to the next best order of reality. It makes the universe thrive. Now, not only does the embryo turn into the baby, but once the baby is born as a human being on the earth, its lungs continue to breathe, its heart continues to beat, and so forth. Once again, this invisible hand. You can describe this in secular terms, or you can describe this in religious or spiritual terms, but obviously there is some force. Now, the idea is that it is not only self-organizing, but self-correcting. Namely, that, let's say, in the body, if the body suffers from injury or disease of any kind, the body also has an immune system. The body has a self-correcting mechanism. If you look at your car, your GPS, and you take a wrong turn, then the GPS automatically recalibrates itself. The idea of systems recalibrating in a self-correcting mode is very interesting and very fundamental to the way the universe operates. So the law of divine compensation has to do with the fact that whenever there is diminishment or lack on the mortal plane, in the material world, there is within the realm of spiritual substance, an infinite capacity to compensate for that lack. In other words, the idea here is that as long as there is love, there is increase. As long as there is love, there is betterment. However, if some loveless thought or behavior on your part or the part of someone else has led in the direction of a consequence that is less than abundant, less than loving, less than beautiful, less than peaceful, a miracle is possible. A compensatory action is possible as long as the mind is aligned with the thinking that calls that forth. What usually happens in our lives is that we are tempted to meet limited circumstances with limited thought. You lose your job, your house goes into foreclosure, you don't know where you're going to get another job, you have a terrible debt, or anything else. Now, the temptation and the bigger problem is not just that those things occurred. The bigger problem is the temptation to meet that circumstance with, ain't it awful, I'm a victim, I hate myself for letting this happen, I hate other people for doing this to me, there aren't any jobs out there, the economy's screwed up, even if there are jobs out there, there's no job for someone my age or whatever. So the notion of spiritual power is to meet the limited circumstance with unlimited thinking, which is to say there has been a deviation from love, but love is, in a higher sense, immortal. But love, in a higher sense, is the only true reality. Anything that is not love, in a spiritual sense, is an illusion of the mortal mind, and you claim what is real. You claim the power of a universe to correct itself. You activate the law of divine compensation. You activate the compensatory working of the universe by standing on the knowledge that it is there. Yes, I'm sad. Yes, I don't have a job now, but I know. I stand on my word. I absolutely know. Just like a pilot, if the pilot can't see the horizon, the pilot doesn't say, oh my God, the horizon's gone. The pilot knows that there's low visibility that day. The pilot might have to fly on instruments for a while. But the fact that the pilot cannot see the horizon doesn't make the pilot conclude that there isn't one. The pilot knows there's always a horizon, and that's how we can be about life. There's always perfection. There's always the possibility of perfection. Sometimes we can't see it because the material circumstances aren't perfect. But that invisible guidance system that not only makes things perfect but returns things to perfection is always there because it's an aspect of the universal order.
And so you know, for those listening right now who hear you and really sort of have read books and learned about this type of thing, but their faith is shaken, you know, their experience has sort of shaken their faith and they're not where they would like for themselves to be as far as their faith. What advice can you share to those listening to renew their faith, to reconnect with that faith again?
Well, the thinking of the world is very thick, and it is dominated by fear, and we are all at the effect of it. And you wake up in the morning and you read the newspaper and you hear how awful it is. And you go out into the world and you see constant testimony of how awful it is. And because we are trained by a thought system of fear, we ourselves internally find ourselves tempted to judge and to criticize and to complain and to, in other ways, conspire with the negativity. Now, if you really want your life to change, you have to really face how thick that is. You have to really face that there's no silver bullet here, like, oh, I'll go be positive today. You know, you can say that, but when you're facing, you know, debts you can't afford to pay or the prospect of, you know, joblessness and all of that, you have to take this stuff very seriously. And if you really want to, quote unquote, reconnect with your faith, you have to do two things. Number one, consider the possibility of infinite possibility. And number two, get very serious about a spiritual practice. Spiritual exercise is a lot like physical exercise. If you do it, it works. If I go to the gym, it works. If I don't go to the gym, my muscles are heading down. That's gravity. Well, same with your thought forms. Spiritual exercise has to do with an upliftment of our attitudes and our energies and our thoughts. And that's called prayer and meditation.
And being so committed to that.
Well, exactly. No different than physical exercise. You never get to the point where you can look at yourself in the mirror and go, oh, man, I look hot. I don't have to exercise anymore. You know, it's a constant. And especially given the world and the conditions of the world today, all the stress, all the tension, all the anxiety. It doesn't make sense. You wake up in the morning, you wash yesterday's dirt off your body. Why would you not seek to wash yesterday's stress off your mind? But the idea, you know, some people say, well, give me the thought to think. You know, this is not this positive thinking or self-help. It's not self-help. I mean, you're the problem. You're not the answer. And the idea of positive thinking is all very nice unless you're in a situation that's a real trigger and a serious wound and something that's not so easy to just positive think away. And that's why more and more people understand that serious meditation is serious business.
You know, what's interesting is gratitude. When at first you are told, oh, you know, the more you're grateful, the more blessings you'll create and attract and you'll align. And at first, you know, sometimes because we've been so fixated or kind of conditioned to experience life in a certain way, gratitude can seem a little bit challenging. So really, as you said, you know, getting back into a practice, making it a daily exercise and getting back into alignment, eventually it can feel easier for you to be grateful. So is that kind of what you're talking about, the whole spiritual practice, getting back into alignment?
Well, any positive action makes it easier to do the next positive action. I mean, any positive thought, any time you say, get over yourself and be grateful for what you have, you're moving in a better direction than, oh, poor me. I mean, we're always tempted. Ego, fear-based mind is always, it's like a scavenger dog, like a heat-seeking missile, always on the lookout for the negative thought, the complaining thought, the ungrateful thought, the judgmental thought, the angry thought, the attacking thought, the defensive thought. Ingratitude is just one of many that it specializes in. And then the practice, once again, the retraining of your mental muscles, just like you retrain your physical muscles. You go against what's easy. You say to yourself, oh, shut up, get over yourself and be grateful for what you have. Do you have a roof over your head? Do you have enough of food that you're not going to starve? Because you might remember that 17,000 children will starve today. You just kind of attitudinally slap your, you know, self across the cheek just a little bit and throw some cold water on your own face. And you realize, boy, am I a spoiled, entitled Westerner or what?
So interesting. All right, in the collective consciousness, when it comes to money itself, there seems to be a how much more can I get approach. What is your perspective on this approach, and are there any alternative ways to create more abundance that may feel more easy and graceful?
Anything that we approach with spiritual alignment, we approach with an attitude of abundance. because the greatest abundance is love. And anything that we approach outside spiritual alignment is actually thinking that will produce consequences of chaos. Now, money is no different than any other area. Anytime we think we have a problem, the underlying problem is that we're not thinking about the situation from the most loving place. We tend to think of money as an end, when really money is a means. And money as an end is the thought that, you know, I have to get it. Money as a means is something where you say, I am here to serve love's purposes. I'm here to be truly helpful and truly useful. I'm here to contribute to the upliftment of the planet. That is why I'm on the earth. I'm a spiritual being. I'm not just a mortal being. I'm a spiritual being. And I am here to participate in a great co-creation by which a darkened planet is turned to light, by which war is turned to peace, by which lack is turned to abundance, by which sickness is turned to health, by which pain is turned to happiness, by which a world that is struggling and is filled with such unnecessary suffering for so many billions of people is transformed into heaven on earth. That is why I'm here. I am here to participate in that. Anything else is meaningless in comparison. And it is only meaning, ultimate meaning, that can give joy to my heart. Now, once I realize this, I'm in a completely different attitudinal matrix. I stand on a completely different emotional ground within my own being. And then I don't look at money as something that I'm out to get so much as money as something which is given me by the universe in order to do what it is I am sent to do. The clearer I am about what my cosmic function is, the clearer the universe will be about supporting me in doing it. So you say, as you say about anything, I surrender my thoughts about money. Remember, when you're surrendering spiritually, you're not surrendering to something outside yourself. You're surrendering to that which is within you, but which is a higher mind. And you say, I have been taught the thinkings of money, thinking about money, which is of the world. There are only so many pieces of the pie. If somebody else has some, there's none for me. I have to compete to get ahead. I have to go out and find a job. That's very low-level mortal thinking. There's nothing miraculous in that. You are definitely, by that thinking, placing yourself at the effect of laws of scarcity and lack. But if you take the journey of enlightenment is a shift in self-identification from body to spirit. And with that, you say, I am not just a body, I am a spirit. I am not just a mortal being. I identify with a higher sense of self. And thereby place myself in a realm of infinite abundance. And I know that there are an infinite numbers of pieces of the pie. Not only that, I don't have to grab for anything. The only thing I get, however, is that which I'm willing to give. And I'm here on a great task, and it happens to be genius within me. Not any to my personal credit, as it happens to be genius in me, as there is in everyone. And I am no more or less special than anyone else. I don't have to compete with anyone to be me. Because only me has the job of being me. That's only my job. And the more I celebrate other people fully actualizing who they are, the more I will subconsciously allow myself to fully self-actualize. The more I'm willing to celebrate other people's success, the more I will subconsciously allow myself to have my own. And the more I judge those who have achieved, including wealth, the more I will subconsciously sabotage my own capacity to do the same. In other words, the rules of consciousness are such that whatever realm of thinking you choose, you are thus choosing which realm to inhabit as a mortal being. It's like at any moment there are two parallel universes. The same circumstances, two parallel universes, because you can experience your circumstances through the filter of fear, or you can choose your circumstances, see your circumstances, and thus experience them through the filter of love. And everything is changed thereby, including your relationship and your experience of money.
Wow. And, you know, just to continue this dialogue a little bit, you talk about job versus the calling, and I know it's very tied into what you just shared. Mm-hmm. Can you expand a little bit more about the job versus the calling?
Yeah, because, you know, it's like I was saying a couple of minutes ago, you know, usually we think, I've got to get a job. It's out there, and I've got to go get a job. The idea of the miraculous shift there, the enlightened shift there, is a shift from a job to a calling. A job is something, there are only so many of them, and people have to compete to get them, and it's out there, and I have to get one. Okay? That's the low-level thinking. The fear mind produces it, and it places you under the laws of scarcity and lack. The calling, the enlightened sense, is that a calling is not out there, it's in here. It is that which emerges organically from the field of your own true being. And that's why the enlightened journey, the discovery and the experience of who you truly are as a unique and divine expression is the key to abundance in anything, because that's what your best career is. It is that which arises as a container for the gifts that only you can bring.
Wow. And, you know, what I'm hearing sort of in between the words is service, you know, being of service, using our life as the instrument of the divine rather than, you know, getting or, you know, going out and thinking that it's all about me, really being about the all, the collective. And it's just such a beautiful thing to hear. I know that, you know, you do a lot of wonderful prayers and meditations. Would you mind sort of guiding us through a little process or an affirmative prayer of some sort to really open us up to that abundance of the universe?
Dear God, the area of money, the area of work, these things can be very scary and very frightening. And we can easily feel out of control and threatened and fearful of the future. And so in this moment, dear God, we surrender into your hands all of our thoughts, our fears, our debts, our bills, our assets, the money we have, the money we don't have, our hopes, our dreams. And we pray that you will remove from our minds, from our thinking, and from our hearts any obstructions to our full alignment and full receptivity to the love that heals all things. We surrender to you all of our talents, our abilities, our skill set, all that we have, all that we are. We surrender to you our failures as well as our successes, our past, our present, and future. May all be organized, transformed, and corrected, that we and those around us shall be lifted up, that we might in all ways become a beautiful expression of your truth, your love, your goodness, your beauty, that through us a great light and healing and peace might extend to all the world. And so it is.
So it is.
Amen.
So I know our time is coming to an end, but I always like to ask my guests this. What is one of the greatest lessons that you've learned so far in your life?
You know, I mentioned it a little bit earlier. I think one of the biggest things life has taught me is get over yourself. Because the very idea that it's all about you is the most dangerous thought. That is the ego, the belief that you are separate. And that kind of really narcissistic tendency is almost bred into the modern worldview, at least the Western modern worldview. And when you can snap your own fingers and say to yourself in the mirror, get over yourself. There's a lot bigger drama going on here than just you. There's somebody out there who's hurting more than you are. You know, do you have legs? Do you have feet? Do you have arms? Do you have a tongue? Do you have a life at all? Complain less about what you don't have and get to work. You know, so many times It's interesting. Somebody asked me the other day, not too long ago, if I would speak at a women's empowerment seminar. And I laughed and I said, a women's empowerment seminar? That sounds from 1990s. And they said, oh, well, a lot of women are still trying to find their power. My response to that is, if you want to find your power, use your power. If you want to find your voice, sometimes people say to me, I want to find my voice. You want to find your voice, use your voice on behalf of someone who truly does not have one. This idea that we're alone and we're separate and it's all about me, I remember many years ago, back, I think it was 1970 or 71, anyway, I was going to school in California and there was an earthquake. I was living in a dorm and we all rushed out into the hall. But because everybody was awakened in the middle of the night by the same earthquake and everybody ran into the same hall. But there was one girl who remained in her bed in her room yelling, somebody help me, somebody help me, somebody help me. And we were all laughing because what was she thinking? That she was going through an earthquake but we hadn't. She was scared. We were all going through this. But in her moment, she was like emotionally paralyzed. Help me, help me. Like, you know, we're all in this together.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, there are times clearly to process our feelings, process sadness, process grief. I was having a conversation with a girlfriend the other day, and we were bemoaning something, and I said, you know, we get this one conversation to do this. We get this one conversation to, you know, honor our grief and our yearning and our bereftness and all that stuff. I mean, that's natural. You know, it's like I used to say to people in grief support groups, this is a grief support group, not a grief denial group. I mean, I'm not talking about a false positivism here. But there's a difference between processing and spewing. There's a difference between honoring your feelings and indulging your feelings. And I think that's where a lot of people are. So mesmerized by their own story that they use the romanticization of their story as their calling card. And if there's one thing I've learned, is that that is a downward spiral. So if you ask me, what is the biggest thing I've learned? It's that there are times in life where the emotional discipline to rise above our own temptation to emotionally crash and burn is so important, because if we're in a crash and burn emotional perspective, the universe will crash and burn according to our command. We think we're crashing and burning emotionally because of circumstances, but really what starts to happen is that circumstances crash and burn because we are emotionally crashing and burning. And that's why, as I said before, you can have circumstances that are difficult, you can have circumstances that are challenging, but you can still stand on hope and faith and the possibility of infinite possibility. Otherwise, in any given moment that the universe would compensate, divine compensation, any given moment that the universe would begin again, any given moment that you might meet some new person, some new opportunity, you're so stuck in the past and stuck in negativity and self-pity that that new opportunity would pass you right by and that person wouldn't even think about going forward with you. And that's been my biggest lesson. Well, that was then, Marianne, this is now. And once you start getting that emotional musculature in place, there's really nothing you can't do.
Beautiful advice. Beautiful. I just got chills the whole time while you were speaking. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
And where can our listeners learn more about you, your amazing book, The Law of Divine Compensation, and any upcoming events that you may have?
Well, thank you so much. You can go to my website, marianne.com. And I speak in Los Angeles every Monday night. And I speak other places in the country and around the world. And if people get on my mailing list, my email list there at marianne.com, you will be notified if I'm in your area. I'm also on Facebook, my public page on Facebook and Twitter, Mara Williamson.
Yay.
And my latest book. I've written quite a few of them, starting with Return to Love, and my latest book that we've talked about a bit here today, and as you have so sweetly said, is called The Law of Divine Compensation on Work, Money, and Miracles.
Yes, and I urge all the listeners to go check that out at marianne.com. And Marianne, heartfelt thank you, gratitude, big hugs. I'm so grateful for your time and for sharing your beautiful spirit with us today.
Well, right back at you. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. And to our listeners, be sure, again, to check out Marianne.com and for all information and updates. And it has been such a gift to connect with all of you today. Have a miraculous day, and I look forward to co-creating even more miracles with you next time.
Thank you for tuning in to the Miracle Cafe. Sign up for our mailing list at MiracleCafeRadio.com to find out more about upcoming shows and special events. Also, by signing up, you will receive a free powerful energy recording titled Living Your Highest Vision. Sign up today at MiracleCafeRadio.com, and I look forward to co-creating a miraculous journey with you.